thank you to our sponsors, Digital Magic the Gathering Online Card Specialist, CardHoarder.com, and MTGOTraders.com. And also thank you to our paper magic specialist, GondaPlaid.com, along with Cape Fear Games, a online card store and brick-and-mortar card store. You can find us each week on MTGCast.com, StarCityGames.com, MyMTGO.com, and MTGSalvation.com.
Hello and welcome, everybody. This is Monday Night Magic, episode 202, I believe. So it's is that a palindrome, 202, guys?
That is a palindrome, my friend.
Thank you very much.
You can't have palindrome numbers. Come on, what are you talking about?
Conley. Nobody else is going to realize it. Let's just
Okay, well, when Conley's blabbing about some Rise of the Eldrazi cards, I'm going to look up palindrome to see if that can involve numbers.
I want to prove you wrong. You can if it was spelled as a palindrome, but the number itself cannot be a palindrome.
If it was 2, then O is like just the letter O. No, that wouldn't work. Never mind.
Yeah, you're screwed.
Damn it. But we also, guys, and we've been pretty rude here so far, we actually have a special co-host that I'm hoping is going to be joining us on a more regular basis. Marcel, do you want to say hello and where you're from?
Hello, everyone. This is Marcel from Oakland. I'm glad to be on the show. Finally about time. I've been trying to get on, and I'm glad to be here.
Yeah, so this is going to be a fantastic episode. There wasn't not a whole lot of magic news. So we're basically going to be going over the Rise of the Eldrazi spoilers we have so far. We're in that time where the spoiler grows by like 10, 15 cards a day. So from week to week, we have 80 new cards. So
I do have some news before we get into Rise of the Eldrazi spoilers.
Okay, so we'll go through a Conley's mystery news here. We'll have some...
It's show related.
Is it? Okay.
Directly related to the show. So,
Is it okay if I go through the summary of the show first before you interrupt me again?
Well, no, but fine.
Okay, so just sit down and just be quiet for, 30 seconds. Just give me 30 seconds, okay, Conley?
You got starting now. Go.
Okay, go. So we'll have our magic news, and Conley's going to apparently drive the show through that like a Wells Fargo cattle train. Then we're going to have our listener emails. We'll have our MTGCast news, where I'm going to read a very personal email, and we're going to go to town. And then we'll have my B-movie talk, which includes a personal favorite. It's a B-movie, it's a cult B-movie, and this is going to be with They Live. So, Conley, you were sitting on your hands, you were very, very good. You get a star for the day. If you get 5 stars, you get a star kiss. Magic news, what do you got?
Okay, well, as you know, last week was Grand Prix Houston, or 2 weeks. No, it was last week. And I played a deck that I also convinced Gavin to play, and we both made money in top 64, top 32.
Yeah, you got 20. You were 24th, I think. Remember, right?
Yeah, 25th. Same thing.
25th. Okay. 24 is even. I like that better.
Yeah. So we added a land to the deck, and we changed one sideboard card. So it was 73 of the same 75 cards. And Gavin decided to play it at his PTQ, which is the last PTQ of the season in Seattle, and he won.
Oh, he won the PTQ in Seattle?
Yeah. So he is going to San Juan on Wizard's dime.
Oh, congratulations! Gavin, I'm only going to clap like 2 or 3 times because he only comes on the show every 50 episodes.
Yeah, I thought he'd be here to talk about it, but since he wasn't, I figured I would announce that he won the PTQ.
Oh, no,
so
that's
yeah,
really
he
cool.
Got there playing some Ninja the Deep Hours. It's good times.
Yeah, that was a very... I mentioned the last show, I watched your deck tech and read through your one crazy feature match that they had on the official coverage.
That was the worst.
It was interesting to read because it was just like your head just started to hurt. Like, trying to follow this match.
Yeah, I guess.
But now, Conley, was for the deck that you played, like you said, the kind of the Ninja Deep Hours, Abyssal Persecutor deck, was that a completely kind of rogue deck? Because that's kind of what you're known for.
Yeah, no, nobody's played either of those cards in Extended Ninja for a very long time and Persecutor ever, basically. I showed up with a blue-red Jace kind of prison-style deck, and that I'd been working on for like a week or so. And then, was messing with the sideboard. Gavin decided he was going to play whatever I played, like he said on the air, just because he wanted to make some money, and he always gets on my deck ideas and then switches off last minute. But, so we were working on, I was working on some sideboard stuff and just kind of had like a house moment, and, like all of a sudden 60 new cards popped up on the screen because I typed them like subconsciously, I guess. So then like looked at the deck. I was like, this looks pretty sweet. So. We sleeved it up, got in like 30 games on Friday night, changed some numbers and stuff like that, and played it, and went pretty well.
Very cool. Any other magic news, or did you want to talk anything more about Grand Prix Houston, or are we just killing time before we talk about Rise of the Eldrazi?
Oh, I guess we're just killing time. I just basically want to give a shout-out to Gavin there.
Yeah, no, that is very, very cool. We'll make sure
Yeah, Extended's over now, so it's like not a lot of reason to talk about it. But
and the only other little Magic news bit that I had, and I had a couple other ones, they're not very exciting. I find Monday Night Magic, I want this to be a positive Magic show.
Well, I'm on it, so that's not happening.
Yeah, at least it can be sassy but positive.
Okay.
You'll give me that, right?
Yes.
Okay. Because on Cracked.com, did anybody ever read Cracked, the magazine, when they were younger? There's like Cracked and then Mad.
Yeah, I used to read Cracked. I like Mad a lot better, though.
Yeah, so Marcel's got Mad was just better. So Cracked, the print version of Cracked died, and then it kind of reborn itself as a... It's Cracked.com. It's a site where people write articles kind of Onion-esque, where they're somewhat based on real events, but mostly are comedy pieces. And they actually just put up a new piece making fun of Magic the Gathering. And I believe I saw this over on either the Starkingnet Post or Mana Nation. And if you go actually read it, it's going to make you angry. Because all it is pedophile jokes for an entire article about Magic the Gathering.
I didn't even realize pedophile stuff was a stereotype surrounding Magic.
Neither did I. That was the overall, the big discussion. People were like, I don't understand, you know, like where this writer is coming. Because clearly they must play Magic because they know enough about it to... You suspect that they play this game in real life.
Yeah, they wrote like an article a few weeks back too that got pointed out, but it was like pretty mild in nature. But there was no pedophile jokes in there, so I don't know what the deal is.
So if you really want to go find it, go to Cracked.com. We're not going to give it any more lip service because it's just negative. And the other quasi-negative thing I was able to find, that's all I could find this weekend for news, was Wizards actually filed a lawsuit in Washington against four Alabama residents for fabricating tournaments and results basically to get the prizes and then would sell that stuff on eBay. Is this something, do you guys think this happens a lot or?
We have an issue in Colorado. I won't name names, but we have someone who cares about his rating a lot and decided to start running tournaments out of a store, and he greatly, herds the players that can play there. So he'll turn away good players and only allow like 8-year-old kids in just so he can win week after week and jack his rating up really high. And he's pretty notorious for it, but we can't, I don't know, I haven't personally contacted, but other people have contacted Wizards about it and, nothing's been done about it. But yeah, some like tournament fraud happens, unfortunately. Like obviously like Bob Maher is probably the biggest scandal ever since he's basically a Hall of Famer, so.
Yeah, that was a... It's amazing for Magic as being a fairly, I guess, niche game, so I know it's getting bigger, but it's a collectible card game. There's a fair amount of controversy when you think about it as a game or a sport or professional living, if you think of it.
It's always
Yeah, well, I mean, Oh, go ahead. I don't want to steal it. Damn show.
Yeah, I mean, Magic's like crack. I mean, people that I know, I mean, I know people that have broken into stores and stole Magic cards, you know, when they're little kids, and it's like, I mean, people will do the for Magic. There is that stigma there to it. So, I mean,
for you know, we've had a lot of comparisons to poker. You know, professional poker. Are there these sorts of controversies in professional poker, or is there just less opportunities to pull these kind of shenanigans?
I just think like the security around poker, like people. I mean, you know, you're playing for cash and stuff, so it's like much tighter. Like it's not all run by a single company. So like you know, there's subsidies.
All right, guys, we're going to move right into our Rise of the Eldrazi talk, and Jack decided to disconnect for a second, so I'm going to re-add him here real quickly, because we like him that much. So we're going to let it ring here for a second.
Ooh.
Are you back?
Yes, I'm back like a vertebrae.
Oh, wow, I'm leaving that in now. We're leaving in this horrible interruption, because that was a really good segue.
But anyway, yeah, like poker, online poker has a lot of scandals. Like, there's always, like, somebody in, like, Lithuania, like, funneling hands with some, you know, something or other. They're always having to change their programs and stuff like that. But, you know, like I said, because Magic's pretty much exclusively run by Wizards and policed by Wizards at the same time, like, you know, like, there are loopholes and people try to exploit those, so.
That's too bad.
Well, I agree.
Makes me sad.
Like, that whole backpack stealing ring that happened last year, or the year before, I guess, that was kind of crazy.
That was only awesome because it was actually a ring of thieves. And yeah, I think that's just really cool.
They got brought down eventually, but, you know, that's what happens.
All right, guys. We have killed enough time. We need to talk about I believe we're at 175 cards on the unofficial spoiler as of recording right now. So we will just kind of go around the table, kind of give each person their turn at the microphone, tell us about the cards that you like, Marcel, you are our guest host. I've been jerking you around for a month trying to get you on the show. I'm going to give you first crack at these cards.
Okay. Well, I'll just pick cards that I probably just like, not necessarily tournament staples, you could say. But
that's all I'm doing.
Okay. I particularly like Fork Bolt. That's a difference to the shock. It's one red, and it does two damage, split between any two creatures or player. I particularly like that because I feel it's a good little twist to the card. You could have potential two for ones, even though now with the bigger creatures, it may not have as much potential, but there's still that element to it. I like versatility, and I think that card is good for that. It just brings shock, you know, to a modern flavor.
It's also going to be pretty good with a lot of the level up start as very small creatures like 1/1s.
The only thing that sucks there is it's a sorcery, so you can't like respond to their last level
to,
up.
To their level up.
Oh, it is a sorcery. Oh, I didn't see that.
But it's still cool that you're paying sorcery to instant. You're paying that off so you can actually kind of do the fire and ice part of it. So you're kind of doing the fire.
It's still not bad. I'm sorry. I didn't see that was a sorcery. That cuts it down significantly.
And the art looks very, very cool.
Yeah, another one I like, the Giga Nonsomancer, Giantmancer. I'm sorry, I'm bad with the name.
I think it's Gigantomancer.
Is this little green dude?
Yeah, the green dude. I mean, I love the art there with the praying mantis upside down. It looks good. But, I mean, there's something wrong with spending 8 mana for a 1/1. I'm sorry, that just is not right about it. But something about it is cool. I really think it's going to go good with the set, with all the spawn tokens and everything. I mean, you could have them. He could be covered by the spawn tokens. You could sacrifice one to make him a 7/7, or you even use that with, you know, Not of This World to protect him. So, I mean, there's ways you can do it. He's very, very casual. I don't know, maybe you might see him out there, but we'll see how the format goes.
Well, I mean, I have to agree with you, Marcel. You're right. It's expensive for a 1/1. I do like that they make its ability to activate really inexpensive. It's like the inverse of the old invokers, where they're cheap to put up, but the ability costs like 8 mana.
Yeah.
Well, and the invokers are back. Tom.
Yes, I know, and that's why I was kind of making that connection.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they're beautiful too. And well, I also like Sea from Beyond. I also play a polymorph deck, and I don't understand exactly the reading on the spoiler. Read a little weird, but I believe it's like you draw two cards or take one card from your hand and shuffle the library. But I believe that's how it works. Okay, yeah, I mean that's going to work good in a polymorph deck, especially if you get a guy in your hand and you have no way of getting rid of him besides say Jace and one of those lands. I mean, I see that card definitely fitting into that deck. And I see Polymorph really, you know, going somewhere with the Eldrazi coming out. We're going to see a lot more of those decks coming out, I believe.
Yeah, that's pretty much that card's use. Like, it's not necessarily very good just straight-up draw spell since you're not actually netting any cards. But even in Vintage, since Brainstorm got restricted, Oath of Druid decks have been using Latnam's Legacy, which is the same mana cost for an instant, and you choose a card from your hand, shuffle it in your library, and then at the beginning of the next upkeep, you draw two cards. So it's basically the same card, just a slow trip. But like they'll probably start using this instead just because it happens right away, and you there's no chance of you drawing your Oath piece before you get to Oath it up. So like this card's definitely good in Polymorph and some other fringe things, but you know, it's not the best if you're just trying to draw some cards, I guess.
Yes.
And from a budget player side, it's much easier for me to afford some Sea Beyonds than getting to buy one Jace.
Yeah, they're expensive right now. I still need one more to complete my set, and I don't want to spend that money yet.
Yeah, there's only so many kidneys you can sell. You only start with two. Marcel, did you have any other ones that kind of jumped out at you?
Let's see. I liked Prophetic Prism for limited. I don't see this being a constructed card, but it's is a 2 mana for artifact, and it taps. It comes into play, you draw a card, and one tap, and you could do a mana of any color. I like that it does replace it, and certain decks do need to have that mana fixing it if you want to put it in. And I just think for limited, it'll be a decent card, and I could see myself playing with it. And also with the artifact deck where the call from the vaults or open the vaults, I don't know if this would be able to help with that, and it'd be another factor for that.
Yeah, because like when Elsewhere Flask rotated, that deck kind of with Time Seep basically kind of fell away because it didn't have enough cantrip artifacts. And while this like doesn't sacrifice on its own, you can still sacrifice it to Time Seep, so might see some play.
You'll see some. Nothing super stable, but yeah, some fringe play. But I like it. And then let's see, if one more I could see. It's about Nomad's Assembly. This is again not another tournament card, but it's 4 and 2 white for a sorcery for put a 1/1 white core soldier creature into the battlefield for each creature you control. I could see this after Conqueror's Pledge, or if you got a really good Eldrazi Spawn deck to really throw out a bunch of tokens. You use this with, say, the Beastmaster's Ascension and build a good strike. I mean, again, you're setting yourself up for a Wrath or the Day of Judgment or anything right there, but there's ways you could work around it or something. But I feel that's interesting, and a very Timmy card is going to have a bunch of creatures on the board, and then comes in again with Rebound for another set. So it'd be interesting to cause some exciting board play, I think, for casual format.
Well, it's kind of cool basically to square your creatures that you have in play.
I'm sorry?
Basically, it's kind of cool when you can basically square the number of creatures that you have in play, because you're kind of doubling and then doubling that double again.
Exponentially.
Yeah, because you have four, then all of a sudden you get eight, the next turn you get another eight of those again, so you're going to have 16 in the end, which I'm like, that is very, very cool.
Yeah, it's crazy. Craziness. I love seeing that.
All right, well, let's do a Conley. I know you've been very patient again. I appreciate it. Give us, because people want your tourney view on some of these cards, or if you have just one that you just like because it looks cool or you're just attracted to, tell us about it.
Wait a second. Your whole it squares your creatures is like the worst thing ever. It only squares your creatures from like 2 and 4. If you're at like 5 or 3, it doesn't square your creatures. Come on, Tom.
Hey, I gave the example that it worked, didn't I? Did I say 4?
Yeah, one that works, but if you have 5, it goes to 10, and then 20, not to 25. If you have 3, it goes to 12, not to 9. Come on, Tom.
You are just a picky math. Pull it
together.
You're a math bitch. You realize you just corrected me on this.
Not an accountant.
Jeez. All right.
Just go look on your bed for like another $62 or whatever it is.
$81
in a dead hooker. Whatever you find under your bed, just go look for it.
It's in my Twitter name. All right. The cards I like that we haven't talked about already. I like Core Spirit Dancer
I like
a lot.
Tom's a doofus. That's the card that I like.
I hate you so much.
What was the card that you like? I actually wasn't even listening to you.
Core Spirit Dancer.
Okay.
It's a colorless and white for 0/2. It gets +2/+2 for each aura attached to it. And whenever you cast an aura, you draw a card. So, like, this card's pretty sick with, like, you don't have to target it with the aura that you cast. So, like, you can cast, like, Trace of Abundances in the late game draw cards.
Colin, can I actually ask you a rule question about Core Spirit Dancer?
Sure.
Yeah, this is a Tota Barber question, you know, because you have Core Spirit Dancer, you have all the other
auras stay on it.
I just want to double check.
I knew that's what you were going to ask.
Yeah, that makes it pretty slick, though, then. I like that.
If you had 5 auras on it, one of which had Totem Armor, that one would leave. If you had multiple Totem Armor,
yeah, that's my question. Like, what if you have 3 different Totem Armor auras on, say, your Core Spirit Dancer?
I'm pretty sure those all die, since they all trigger, and then they sacrifice.
Okay.
But if you had 1 Totem Armor thing, and then, like, 2 other auras that aren't Totem Armor, they stay on.
Because they replace the damage instead of the creature actually hitting the graveyard.
Yeah, but if you have, like, 3 Totem Armors on it, since the Totem Armor is a triggered ability, it says if it would be destroyed, instead remove, you know, the aura from it, or remove all damage or whatever from it and destroy the aura. Like, every single one of the Totem Armors will trigger, and then although the first one's the only one that actually matters during the resolution, the other one's still a sacrifice.
Okay, cool.
So,
thank you.
But, yeah, no, I just like that, you know, you get to draw cards. Like, most of the Enchantress-style cards they've printed recently kind of suck, like Mesa Enchantress and stuff. But, like, this guy, you know, he's a win condition in himself. He draws cards. You can protect him with some Shroud enchantments if you want. I just think he'll be pretty good. Like, any time that something lets you draw cards and it comes on a decent body or whatever, you got to kind of keep that guy in mind. I don't know if, like, there's enough ores in Standard to make him good, but you never know. I'm excited about Soul Follower, because they made it a May ability. I'm sure I've griped about, you know, Soul Warden being a must ability a few times on here. Did I get a chance to talk about Wall of Omens ever?
No, this is one, if nobody brought up, I was going to bring up just simply for the color pie or all the different discussions. Aaron Forsyth has obviously gotten 3,000 messages about this card. So,
that's because it's pretty much the best card in the set.
Yes.
Pretty exciting. Like, I mean, probably not the best card in the set. It's definitely top 5, though. Like, it's just so cool that they brought this back. Like, everybody loves it. It's kind of weird that, like, casual players like it and competitive players like it. You know, it's just one of those cool niche cards that everybody likes. It's good to see it. Like, some players will adapt their decks to have more ways around it, but at the same time, you're not going to cut your Bloodbraid Elves and Ranger of Eos's just because they don't have 4 power. So, like, he's still going to block plenty of things. He's going to block Student of Warfare, which is another insane card. So, I mean, people are like, oh, well, you know, Jund will just stop running three power guys, but, like, that's not really true. Like, they're still going to run their Sprouting Thranax and Bloodred Elf. They're not going to just cut those cards because Wall of Omens exists in the format. Like, so, I mean, that card's definitely good. You'll see a lot of play. I've been working on some brews with some Wall of Omens in them because I have Standard and Block coming up. So,
I guess, yeah, Block is actually kind of exciting, too, this time around.
Yeah, I don't, like, I think Rise might impact Standard more than Block, which is kind of strange. Just because a lot of the support cards for these really expensive things, there's more of them in Standard than there is in Block. But then again, we haven't played with the new cards yet, so I don't know. Maybe change a little bit. What else do we have?
So they're just going to draft the sets individually, or the Block is going to be together? I'm sorry, I was confused.
No, it's individual. It's like San Juan, for instance. It's the whole block, so it's Zendikar, World Wake, and Rise for the constructed portion, but the draft is triple Rise Eldrazi.
I see.
So it'll be a super, super slow format, but I mean, if you added Rise Eldrazi onto Zendikar, like, all the Rise cards would be horrible because they're so slow, because yeah, Zendikar's exactly. Just such a fast format. I like Surikar Spellblade. I don't know if I see any play, but I think he should see some play in Vintage and Legacy. Against decks that can't really block him, whatever, because he just draws you so many cards. So he's a colorless blue for 2/1 Surikar. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery, you put a charge counter on him, and when he deals combat damage to a player, you draw X cards where X is the number of charge counters on him. So as long as you have a way to keep your opponent's creatures off the table, or they're not playing creatures, like this guy can get out of hand pretty quickly, drawing you 3+ cards a turn. You know, just even in Legacy, just like attacking, they don't block, and you cast like a couple of Brainstorms that just, you know, draws you so many cards. It's pretty sweet. I don't know. I'll keep going through. Jack, you have any cards you want to talk about?
Jack actually dropped out for a second, so I'm going to
again.
Again, yeah. See, I can't remember if he's AT&T. Whoever does his internet, this has happened the last few times on the show, that just randomly drops him from the show.
Well, we should negatively plug AT&T then.
Yeah, if I think it's AT&T, and I have to give them the 2 thumbs down.
Make sure not to get them. Stay with them. The one I got.
who do you like, Marcel? Where I have no qualms about promoting one company and then apparently bashing another company or Magic website.
I don't particularly like them, but I do have Comcast. Their internet is great. I never had no problems. I get fast downloads. I mean, I love Comcast, even though they're changing their name to Xfinity now because of the negative press around Comcast's name.
Yeah, I have Comcast too, and the internet's good. Only I've just had problems with customer service, but other than that, everything's been pretty good.
Oh, right here. As Jack says, AT&T can kiss my grit, so he is coming back right now.
Oh, we get another one-liner.
We do. But that's the cost of me heading back to the show. He has to have a really good little blurb when he comes back onto the show.
I'm back like a bad case of herpes.
There we go. Yeah, herpes, that's one of the few things that when you give forever.
You ever played the herpes game, Tom? Or Marcel, I guess? It's where you're on a road trip or whatever.
I'm just gonna take the safe bet and say, no, I've never played this game ever.
No, you just...
Is this where you try to get herpes 1, where you get herpes 2, and vice versa?
Hooker in your apartment?
Is this mouth to crotch?
No, come on. you gotta pick women that you'd be willing to get herpes in order to have relations with.
Rosie O'Donnell. Oh, were we supposed to pick somebody or not?
No, you don't have to pick right now. That's just a game.
Okay, I take that back.
Driving down the road.
Yeah, you got to find the over-under on, like, what the line of woman is that you would be willing to get herpes in order to sleep with one time.
I've heard the variation of the game where pick the women that'd be beautiful enough that you'd be willing to eat their poop in order to, you know, be with them.
Yeah, but eat their poop is like a very, like, it's not a long-lasting thing. Like, herpes is something you got to live with. Like,
herpes fucks your lip off for life. Yeah, that's true. I'll give you that.
I would eat a bucket of poop for, like, you know, $20. Like, whatever. Come on.
Yeah, well,
heard it here on MTG Cast, folks.
So, guys, when next time you see Conley at any sort of tournament, you got a $20 bill and, like, a bucket. Fill that bucket
with poop.
Wiggle
that eyebrow a little bit.
Yeah. I mean,
this is not going to end well. I didn't should have thought that one through.
Yeah, you think he's drinking chocolate milk all the time, but no, he just earned $20.
Whatever, I'll be rich.
Okay. You'll be rich.
I mean,
all the time, but I'm gonna have 40 extra dollars.
If you think about it, though, only the first time you eat the poo can it really be that bad. After that, you're just gonna be like, you're gonna be used to it.
Wait, no, this, I mean, this, everybody hates my little medical things. I'm going to give you one right here, though. Is there actually, you can do a stool transplant. There's sometimes when people have been treated with antibiotics, and the antibiotics kill off all their, basically, stomach and gut bacteria. You will actually get stool from their family members, like people that they live with, either be roommates or people in their house. And you actually, like, grind that up, and then you put that through, like, a nasal gastric tube to repopulate their normal bacteria.
I tell you, the shit I learned on this show, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, it's called basically it's like a stool transplant.
It's actually done.
I am not making that up.
They don't have to taste it, though.
No, the problem is if you burp, though, because usually you burp when you get in through the nasal tube. You have to imagine the taste is not very, very good.
Eh, whatever. All right, well, since we took up some time there, I also want to talk about growth spasm.
Yeah, is that when you go to the bathroom and it hurts afterwards?
The poop made me think of growth spasm. No, I like this car a lot. It's kind of like a Kodama's Reach.
It's really good, actually. It's like a double acceleration.
Yeah, so it's like two colors and a green search library for basic land, put it in play tapped, and then you put a spawn token in play as well. So like early game, you know, you go straight from 3 to 6 mana on turn 4, which is pretty sweet. In the late game, rather than just getting some useless lands in your hand if you're not playing with landfall, you get like a chump blocker, which is kind of cool. You can use them for some other ability if you have something else that like changes tokens or whatever. But no, I think it's a pretty sweet card.
And
it'll be really good.
And Marcel and I were talking about we like to play Polymorph right now, and this would be great to replace, like, if you're playing blue-green, replace a Rampant Growth with a card that gives you another token that you can then Polymorph.
Exactly. I don't think you play Rampant Growth. You guys need to read my articles. There's no Rampant Growth in Polymorph.
I'm just playing for fun, Kyle, that you get.
Yeah, but it's such a useless card. Play, like, a good card in that slot.
What good card should I be playing?
Think about this. The only way Rampant Growth...
Besides you eating poop for $20, what can you teach me here?
The only way Rampant Growth is ever good is if on turn 1 you have Colony Garden, then on turn 2 you have Rampant Growth, then on turn 3 you have Polymorph. You have to have those exact 3 cards in that order, otherwise Rampant Growth is useless because a turn 3 Polymorph only can happen if you have Colony Garden on turn 1.
So you should only be playing Colony Garden is what you're telling me.
No, you should be playing other token makers, but in the 2 and 3 slots, rather than running stupid mana acceleration, you should be running like control cards or like cards that buy you time to get to your Polymorph.
Okay, like more cancels or whatever.
Why do you gotta bring up cancel? We were having a wonderful conversation, Tom. You had to go up and bring cancel.
I play
Wizards of the Coast wants to make sure that card is everywhere.
That's literally one of the only cards that's not spoiled so far is cancel. It'll be spoiled pretty soon, guaranteed.
So what color is your Polymorph deck? What colors do you use?
I was blue-white. Pretty much predominantly, I had 4 Colony Gardens on the splash, but I mean they're not actually casting anything. And I had Thopter Foundry with Everflowing Chalice as my mana acceleration, since it does stuff in the late game, and I can hard cast Iona. And Border Posts. I had 4 blue white ones, 3 green white ones, and then I had 3 Elspeth, which obviously is not for the casual player since it's expensive. 4 Jace. Then some like I had 4 Silence, which is really good with Polymorph. Because you silence first, then you cast Polymorph, so they can't kill your token in response.
Oh, thank you, because that has been, when you're playing Jund, that just pisses you off.
Yeah, I had 2 Dispels and 4 Silence, so they're all 1 mana answers to removal.
Okay, cool.
So those were pretty good. And then I had some Day Judgments, some Path to Exiles, you know, the standard fare there. And then, like, Thopter Foundry is actually a legitimate secondary win condition between, like, you have 7 Border Posts, 4 Everflowing Chalice, and 4... Thopter Foundry, so you have 15 artifacts, so you can, you know, consistently make 2 or 3 guys and kind of be down with them. I don't really like the Wind Zendikon, since it's not a legitimate secondary win condition. It's just kind of only good with your Polymorph. I mean, it's okay, but, you know, I'd prefer not to run them. And then the only thing green was for in the sideboard, I had 4 Baloth Cage Traps for against, like, the Koros decks when they were big with all the equipment and the Open the Vault decks, so, like, you would just, like, bust out a turn 2, 4-4. But other than that, yeah, it was a pretty good deck. Obviously, it's a little more competitive since it has, like, Wrath of Gods and things like that. But I think Silence is one of the cards that a lot of people seem to miss.
No, that's a good because that's something I had a lot of problems with, as being very, very annoying.
Well, that's because you're running Rampant Growth.
I am. And I'm proud of it. I'm loud and proud with that, Conley.
No, and, like, with that deck, it's really cool because I was running 1 Progenitus and 1 Iona since they're good in different matchups. And then I had 1 Sphinx of Steelwind in the sideboard, and you kind of switch your Polymorph targets depending on the decks you're playing.
Okay.
But the good thing is with Everflowing Chalice and Border Posts, you can actually just hard cast Iona if you draw it and you don't have a Jace. You just kind of play control until the late game, and then you just drop a big fatty.
Okay.
But yeah.
Now, this is the question I've always come up with. I'm playing against Jund, and I hit my Iona. Should I always be picking red? Is that usually the safest set? Or do you pick black to
always black? Always black.
Is that because of, like, because of the Terminate only, and all the other, and Maelstrom Pulse?
Terminate, Maelstrom Pulse. You don't want them casting Brumade Dragon, although that's fine with red, too. And if they're running, like, Vampire Nighthawk sometimes, you don't want that to happen.
Okay.
The only way red can do anything is if they have triple lightning bolt, and if they have triple lightning bolt, you just say touche and whatever.
All right, Kyle, do you have any other cards to pick before we hand it over to Jack here?
No, I'll just keep jumping in whenever I see a card.
Cool. Jack, hit me up.
Alrighty, well, hopefully Conley hadn't grabbed this one, because it's one of the few cards I've seen that looks really competitive. Has anybody covered Inquisition of Kozilek yet?
No.
Alrighty, for a black and a sorcery, its target player reveals his or her hand, you choose an all-land card from it with converted mana cost 3 or less, that player discards that card. I really like this thing, because I have a feeling that, if nothing more, it's going to present a major problem for Jund, which I think maybe that'll at least equate to a few less threads bitching about that archetype on MTG Salvation. Let's see.
I like the ability to pull out their Blighting. That seems nice.
Yeah.
Well, it's not just that. Think of all the other annoying crap it gets rid of for one black. I don't want to go so far as to say this card's going to be, like, played mainboard, but it'll definitely help out, like, vampires and stuff like that.
I don't know if it's as good. Like, it's not better than Thoughtseize, unfortunately, because, like, in older formats, you need to be able to take Force Will and random things like Memory Jar and Yawgmoth's Will and Gifts Ungiven. And because this card can't do that, it won't really see play. I mean, it might see play as, like, the fifth or sixth Thoughtseize, because it's sometimes better than Duress. Like, this is pretty comparable to Duress. They're basically, they both have a similar drawback, but, like, Thoughtseize is just miles above it. So, like, even in Extended, you're not really going to run this over Thoughtseize, because then you can't take, like for instance, Scapeshift or, Jace, things like that you really want to take with Thoughtseize. In Standard, I don't know, like, Duress doesn't see really any play right now. I mean, it's not that it can't, it just doesn't, because it's not that good against Jund, and unfortunately this can't take Bloodbraid Elf, which is one of the biggest cards you want to take preemptively. Because, taking Spiraling Throne Axe is really good, of course, and taking, Blightwing is really good. But, if you were to Thoughtseize as a Jund player, like, you'd almost always take Bloodbraid Elf if you could. The fact that this can't, it's a little awkward, but, like, it probably will see some play, but not, like, as much as Thoughtseize did when it was in Standard.
Right. Like I was saying, I think primarily it's going to help out vampires. This is definitely going to be a great sideboard card, I think. And I've been trying to think of a host all week to pick on with this card, and I'm going to pick Eric. So I'm really glad that Wizards of the Coast has succulently rendered Eric on the art for Hellcarver Demon. I really am, because he's laying there, he's built, he's hairy, he's muscular. And I think it sums up Eric very well. Because
the remains of his family, you're just like, oh, it's so sick.
No, like, every picture of Eric I've ever seen, he's just always like this happy-go-lucky bearded guy. And so this, when I see this card, I think of Eric, and it just fits.
You know what this looks like? It looks like the thing from Jeepers Creepers.
Oh yeah, the guy kind of had, because he would sprout the wings out and attack the butt. I've seen Jeepers Creepers 1 and 2.
Yeah, they're both bad. They're both horrible.
Did you guys know that the guy that played Mr. Creeper in the first one was actually a pedophile, and that's why he wasn't in the second one?
Comes back to pedophiles.
It does. We tried to break out of the mold with magic players and pedophiles, and boom, here we go.
Yeah, now we have a magic card looks like a pedophile. Come on.
Let's see if there's anything else that interests me. Looking through the list.
Besides little kids.
Oh, Tom. I can take Conley talking about eating people's poo over that. Come on, man.
Marcel's never coming back.
It's all bad. I'm gone. No $20 buckets of poop for me.
let's see. Have we talked about the black instant sweeper yet?
No.
Soon to meet?
Yeah. I like that. I mean, basically, there's not really... I have a feeling when Rise of the Eldrazi comes into Standard, maybe it's not going to hit as much as I think it's going to hit, but the fact that it's instant and at least a decent-sized sweeper, that interests me. Consuming Vapors is pretty cool.
And way better.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
We have
it's like
an affair.
It is like that's so cool. Rebound, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I was saying a couple of months ago when we first started getting, like, I forgot what card it was. It was the green booster that had rebound on it.
Praise, Vengeance, or something like that.
Yeah, or whatever the heck it's called. I thought rebound was going to get more of a spotlight than, like, level up and all the other stuff in the set. And so far, I'm being proven right with stuff like Consuming Vapors.
Consuming Vapors, I mean, it's perfect for the set where you have all these crazy, enormous creatures, the Eldrazi's, where you want to be able to sack them.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean, if he has pro for color spells, he's still dying.
It's going to be a lot of Eldrazi spawn, though, so that's going to be a problem.
Oh, good point, yeah. So, yeah, I guess that's kind of the protective part of it, too. Okay.
The only thing that, like, while there will be probably some Eldrazi spawn, it's not like there'll be multiple decks with Eldrazi spawn. Like, it's not because it's going to be, like, three different Eldrazi spawn decks. So, yeah. Like, that'll be, like Consuming Vapors is not even that exciting against Jund, since they could just sacrifice a Thrinex or one of the tokens or something like that. It's still okay there. But, like, against everything else, like, the fact that you can hit Sphinx of Draw with this, or just, like, a base layer, even, like, Wall of Omens to break through, it's obviously insane against the quick aggro decks like White Weenie and Red White, all the Ranger Vios decks, Naya. Like, it's still okay against Jund. It's not bad, but it's not, like, super exciting. And, you know, the Eldrazi spawn deck, if there is one, I think that it'll be pretty much limited to one deck, because, you know, there's not enough tools. Like, remember, like, the Eldrazi are cool and everything, and there's, like, Eldrazi Temple and, you know, Eye of Ugin and all this crazy stuff, but there's only one set of Eldrazi. So, like, it's not like you're going to, you know, if you're playing Eldrazi, you're pretty much going to play the same, like, 3 to 4 big guys and then kind of ramp into it. I mean, I don't know exactly what that deck's going to look like, but I don't suspect there'll be more than one of them.
So. Okay.
Green red, or maybe green black, possibly for the Eldrazi.
Yeah, it'll have to be green red black. Those are the only things that make Eldrazi spawn. Everything else does not do it.
Green red black. I'm writing this down.
Also known as Jund, so you can call it.
Oh, I've heard Jundrazi. Those colors are okay. Yeah,
okay. Yeah, Jundrazi.
Everybody in Sanger just went out and committed Harry Carey. Oh, well, that was over. Nope, turn the sword.
It's not, to be fair, it's not those colors that everyone hates. It's the fact that people are, like, Blightning and then Bloodbraid, and, like, this deck would not play Blightning at all. It would play, like, it'd probably play Bloodbraid just because there's no reason not to, but.
I think you're right. I think the reason I hate playing Jund is because of Blightning. I hate losing cards.
Most people hate losing cards, and, like, usually that kind of stuff is not playable. Like, Mind Shatter is, you know, insane, but doesn't see any play. Like, Blighting's just too good. I don't know. It's hard to explain.
All right, Jack, what else you got for me?
All right, one last but not least. Actually, yes, it is least. This card was so much more amazing in my mind until I realized that it would hit absolutely nothing in Standard, and I probably wouldn't really even use it outside of Limited. Domestication. You look at the mana cost, and you think, oh, yeah, Control Magic, yeah! And then you read the rest of the card, and for our listeners out there that don't have the spoiler up, you control Enchanted Creature. At the beginning of your end step, if Enchanted Creature's power is 4 or greater, sack Domestication. Oh, that's a drawback. Ouch, that hurts. Like I said, I thought this card was going to be great, and now I'm just like, Mind Control's better. And Mind Control doesn't see that much play.
You bring up, or this is, I was curious for Conley and Marcel, too, is we have Mind Control and M10. Why do we have Domestication here?
They're a different card. They serve different purposes. That's like saying we have Control Magic. Why do we have Threads of Disloyalty? This card actually will see some play. Like, the ability to steal Spiraling Thrinex is huge for one less mana than Mind Control. You know, you can obviously take Bloodbraid off and stuff like that, too. Like, and also, if you do take something that costs 4 or that has power 4 or more, it's not like you just automatically give this thing right back. Like, you can still use it.
You get out of the way for a turn. Okay.
Yeah, you can use the sacrifice effect or something. Like, this will see some sideboard play, just like Threads of Disloyalty does. Like, if you look at Threads of Disloyalty, it's obviously strictly worse than Mind Control 2, but it costs 2 less, and therefore, you know, is able to take a Tarmogoyf, so it sees play. Like, this can't take Tarmogoyf, but it can take, like, Dark Confidants and things like that. So, I mean, it should see some play. Mind Control will also see play. They're both, like, the fact that it can't take Advanced there is big, but the fact that, you know, costs 1 less than Mind Control is also big. So, you know, it's not super exciting, but it'll see some play.
Yeah, losing 1 mana, it makes a difference. I mean, at 4 mana, you're going to see certain. I mean, you won't see it in the tournament deck, I don't think, too much, but you'll see it like a casual deck where all they do is steal creatures and stuff, and this just gives them another tool at a lower level. Because I know I played with those decks, and you didn't have too much that you can really do to get the lower creatures in Standard, so this gives them another tool.
Okay, I'm sold.
Gotta have that speed.
All right, Jack, anything else before I do my tribal rundown?
Let's see here. Nah, nothing that really interests me.
All right, we'll start at the top because, again, for me, this set is all over the board, it feels like, sometimes. We're talking about these tourney cards, like Wall of Omens, and we got these enormous Eldrazi, then we got Level Up. It's a, to me, it's a, I like it, I'm very excited. It's just a weird set to me in a lot of ways.
That's why it's only a single set and not, or a, yeah, a single set and not a full block, because I don't think they could expand this out to a full block.
Yeah, it's only so deep, yeah.
Yeah, there's only so many 8-mana guys you can create that have Annihilators X on them before you're like, all right, discard
your... Okay, I'm bored. Yeah. But to get around that and to trigger that little relentless rat part of your brain, we have Sponsire of Ulamog.
I love this guy. He should be mythic, though.
Yeah, this is... Like you said, I know there's all this... People are always bitching about what should be mythic and not mythic. His second ability is... It should say mythic. It should be bolded on the card. But he's right. So, Sponsire Ulamog, 10 colorless mana. He's a 7/11, which I just like to say. Creature Eldrazi, obviously. He's Annihilator 1. 4 colorless mana. Put 2 of the Eldrazi spawn tokens into play. Second ability, I don't think I've ever seen this on a card. 20 colorless mana, colon. Cast any number of Eldrazi cards you own from outside the game without paying their mana cost. So, if you have a 5,000 count box of, like, Ulamog's Crusher or Skittering Invasion, whatever the path or Razor Ulamog, throw him on the table. Just and put the box on the table.
You got to cast an all his dust too, just to clear the way.
Yeah, I'm just like this. It just looks cool. I want to try to play this. It looks like fun.
All right, can I go on a mythic rant real quick?
Yeah, go for it.
All right, so this card's not mythic, and it doesn't make sense. Okay, I think we'd all agree this guy should probably be mythic. It's not good. It's not going to see standard play, but it should be mythic due to the fact that it has a 20 in its mana cost and lets you cast any number of spells.
And the arch is also mythic.
Let's go to... We have 14 of the 15 mythics. I'm going to run through some of these mythics. All is Dust, Emrakul, Gideon Jura, Kargan Dragon Lord, Kozilek, the Butcher Truth, Sarkhan the Mad, Transcendent Master, Ulamog, Vengevine. Does anybody notice anything about all these mythics? Because they're all pretty much going to see moderate to heavy play in standard and extended.
Yeah, especially after like Vengevine. Yeah, some of these will be kind of interesting ones.
Yeah, and so like I don't know what they did. I really want to ask Aaron Forsythe because they were like, "Oh, we don't want to make too many tournament staples at mythic." But it seems like they had a change of heart for this set, and there's like not just one or two or three tournament staples, but there's like 8 to 10 cards that are going to see play in some number of decks at, like, a high number in Mythic. And then if you start going through the rares, like, most of the playable cards in the set that are rare, you wouldn't even expect them to be rare. Like, Student of Warfare makes sense at a rare, but they've also printed that same type of card before at, like, Uncommon. So, like, I could have seen that at Uncommon.
Eldrazi Temple, too, makes me mad as a rare.
Yeah, Eldrazi Temple is a rare. What else do we have? Like, I don't know, I guess as the show goes on or whatever, we talk about more cards I bring up, but there's just like a whole bunch of cards here, like this could have probably been uncommon or uncommon, but it's a rare and it's going to see a lot of heavy play. Like, Consuming Vapors, for instance, that one could have easily been uncommon.
Consuming Vapors is a rare?
Yeah, it's a rare. That's what I'm saying. There's like all these cards that like you necessarily wouldn't think of as rare.
It is, yeah. I would have guessed uncommon. I didn't even pay attention.
Yeah, it just seems like an uncommon, just good, like, it's a good card, but that doesn't need, like, a good card and rare does not necessarily have to mean the same thing. And so I'm a little bummed that they threw so many really good, really expensive cards at the rare and mythic slot, because it's, you know, like, I personally don't care. Like, I get my cards regardless. People are, you know, help me out with borrowing cards. I work at a card store, so I have, you know, whatever coming in. I gunsling at pre-releases and get free boxes of cards. So, like, I personally have no problems. But just, like, to hurt the Magic community as a whole kind of infuriates me a little bit. So, I don't know. I wish they wouldn't have gone crazy with these mythics this time, and I hope it's just a one-set fluke, and the next set doesn't have another 10 playable mythics in it, because it's just kind of annoying.
And this is something I kind of want to get your guys' thoughts, where we had all this news that, you know, for Hasbro, Wizard of the Coast has done incredibly well over the past, I guess, what, quarters, however they do their business math. And a lot of that, we've seen cards like Baneslayer, we got the Jaces, all these really amazing mythics. That conspiracy nut in me just has to say, wow, they've sold a lot of packs by making these really good mythics. And that is only positive feedback on them to do that continually into the future for sets.
I think, I mean, they made a lot more money off this last set, and I think because of the Mythics, they really, it's brought a lot of new people in, and they feel they get this super special card. So I guess they want to make them more tournament staples. I mean, the last two sets weren't that as expensive. I mean, I actually got play sets of them fairly cheap compared to, say, the Alara. Alara was a little bit more expensive, so I guess they're making the suffer this time around with this last one, because I know this one's going to be really expensive. So, I mean,
like, the one thing, the people that open up a pack and they go, wow, this card's mythic, I've made the money. Those are the people that like to open up Avenger of Zendikon and, like, you know, even Iona, like cards like that, they're like gigantic mythics that make sense at mythic. Like Vengevine, like there's no way like the player that like opens it up, like Vengevine seems like a rare to me. Like if you compare it to other cards, like it's comparable to Bloodbraid Elf, it's comparable to Bloodghast. Like these cards are like rares and uncommons. Like there's nothing super mythic-y about Vengevine. Like it's a 4/3 haste that's, you know, pretty typical for 4 mana. And then it comes back from your graveyard. You play two things, like, you know, Bloodghast has a clause that lets it come back to your graveyard. You know, there's other cards that do the same thing, and like it just doesn't seem mythic. It doesn't do something that's never really been done before. I guess having a green creature with haste is kind of a little crazy, but not like unheard of. Like, I don't think a newer player that like opens up a card and he gets excited about the fact that they open a mythic just because it's a mythic is getting excited about Vengevine. Whereas, you know, if they see a 20 in the corner of their card that, you know, is some activated ability costs 20, like they're going to get way more excited about that. Yeah. So I don't know. It just seems like they just mix some stuff up in this set, I think.
Yeah, just get that little Timmy boner, like, ding.
Just like with Lotus Cobra too. I can understand why they put it in Mythic, but it was again like a new player. They were not going to see the value in that card as much. They're going to be like, "Wow, I got a 2/1 that gives me mana." It's kind of like they did. You know, their whole policy. You do see the shift and the change, and hopefully, it does, you know, go back to where it should be.
Yeah, like Colony Hydra, for instance. I could have seen it rare, but like it's understandable. Mythic, it has 8 green mana costs in its corner, whatever. Transcendent Master, like that guy does not seem like a mythic to me. Does anybody think like that guy's rare? Probably. I could even see him as uncommon. Like he's a 3-mana 3/3. That's kind of cool. Then you have to spend a whole bunch of mana to make him a 6/6 lifelink, and then a whole bunch more mana to make him a 9/9 indestructible lifelink. But like, I mean, he just doesn't seem mythic to me. There's nothing mythic-y about that. Like, he doesn't fly. He doesn't have protection from.
You only can make so many cards that are like, you know, too complex or too deep, or otherwise, you know, you're gonna have like a creep on complexity creep for the whole game. So I mean, the Mythic does have to have a fine line of being, you know, having that odd to it, but still not necessarily being too overly complex.
I understand that, but I mean, that guy just doesn't even seem like there's much odd to him. Like, I guess he has the word indestructible on him, but that doesn't seem. I don't know.
Yes, probably that's it. No, indestructible.
All right, guys. Oh, do you have more sales? I want to go on to my next few cards.
Fine.
And I also need to add in, can you guys guess who I have to add back into the call because their AT&T internet just cut out again?
We love AT&T.
We do. I am a huge fan because when I edit this, I love to have to edit out all these things. You know.
Wait, no. You should leave them in because if AT&T is willing to hook the show host up, maybe we can endorse them some more.
Yeah, even though, because we could say, like, AT&T, we know you keep dropping jack, but we'd love to have these little breaks to, like, catch our breath. So we love you, AT&T.
Yeah, AT&T is the greatest, and yeah. I also love Mercedes-Benz.
Yes, indeed, an iPhone.
I'm awfully fond of Rolex myself.
Wait, you go for a watch? Watch is the most useless accessory a person can buy these days, and that's the thing you go for?
And the North Dakota Board of Tourism.
It's stylish, a style piece.
Thank you, Marcel. Thank you for rushing to my aid. I really appreciate that.
Yeah, you can have a Rolex on and wear a bathrobe and some slippers to go out anywhere, and you'd be cool.
I am going to try that on Friday.
No, wait, Marcel, do you know this from experience?
No, but I've seen people who actually I've seen someone, yeah, not in the full bathrobe, but not drawers, but you know, with pants on, he going out and he has this Rolex, he just has, you know, this whole presence about himself. He just like, I don't care nothing. And then, you know, I mean, you want to put it to the Rolex, you can say that, but I mean,
no, Marcel, you're being humble. I bet you're in your velveteen bathrobe right now. I certainly am. That's how I always podcast.
Cashmere, only cashmere, nothing but the bed.
And all of a sudden he just builds up all the stack electricity. And
I'm in a cashmere thong.
You're in a corduroy thong. I've always wanted to see that happen.
That'd be like the worst.
Corduroy suit. We'll bring it back to the '70s.
Well, see, Conley could also advertise the corduroy thong as like the Rough Rider. Think about it.
Oh, wow. That's a Norse Quarter reference. I got to give you that one there, Jack. I like that.
I was totally unaware of it. Had I known, I wouldn't have made it. But
pulling
thank
the
you.
Teddy Roosevelt, the Rough Rider.
He was a hell of a prize.
Average Guy Porn.
AverageGuyPorn.com or .com.
No. Folks, we're keeping that on the down low until we can get our MTG cast calendar made. Remember?
Yeah, or NakedPeopleOfWalmart.com. That's the other one I've been kind of toying around
with. Now we're plugging Walmart, too? Come on.
NakedPeopleOfWalmart. We're taking the people of Walmart, and we're only going to accept people that are naked.
And wait, if the girls at SuicideGirls.com want to cut me a check, by all means.
I do not want to see the greeters naked.
Wow! How did you get into the powered wheelchair? Wow! All right, my next card is one that... It had to jump out, guys.
Seamless.
Like you hope they scrub those seats down when they're done. That's all I have to say.
Seamless transition.
It is. So the card that I pick, because this is something I deal with every day, is I can't believe they named a card this Narcolepsy. Narcolepsy, it's a blue and a colorless enchantment, or it's a common. Enchant creature, at the beginning of each upkeep, if an enchanted creature is untapped, you tap it. If we are going to split hairs, this card should have been called Cataplexy. So Wizards, whoever's doing your research, you drop the ball on this one. Just going to say.
This card already exists. The only sad thing.
Yeah, it was weird because it's not very often that they use things that exist in real life. It's not like they have a card called Irritable Bowel Syndrome.
So I mean, it exists as a card.
Yeah, it's not very good.
No, the card already exists.
What, Narcolepsy?
Yeah, what was it called? It was in Shadowmoor.
Oh, yeah, I mean a card with this name, though.
Yeah, but it did the exact same thing, like tapped. It just cost colorless, white size, blue.
Yeah, I was saying, but it was just weird. It's not often that they name cards after something that exists in real life. And I thought this was unusual.
I mean, they name quite a few things. I mean, it's not like you expect everything to be called, Pissant, the Giant's Bane or something.
But it wasn't like Enchanted Narcolepsy or, the Planeswalker's Narcolepsy. Just be like having a card called Pneumonia or The Flu.
Blowfly Infestation.
Yeah, see, throw a word called Blowfly Narcolepsy, then I'm happy. we can't have just we can't have grizzly bears now. They have to have rune claw bears. Can't we have rune claw narcolepsy? I mean, spice it up for me, Wizards of the Coast.
Rune sleeping disorder?
Yeah, something like that. This discussion did not go where I wanted to go on that one. So next one, the one that I'm truly excited for, I'm just going to totally skip over this one because it died on the vine, is Cadaver Imp. They actually gave me an imp that's not bad. Two black Nicolas, it's an imp, it's a common, 1/1 flying. When it enters the battlefield, return target creature card from your graveyard to your hand. I like that.
Otherwise known as Grave Dimper.
Yeah, the Grave Imp. The Grave Imper? You can say that. Yep. I like that.
I was saying Grave Dimper, but you can say Imper, I guess.
Grave Dimper. That sounds dirty, though.
Well, yeah, but it's a Grave Digger. It just costs one less and it flies. It's pretty sweet.
And this is the one where we don't have the whole set yet. I want to hear, do you guys even care about this card? This is Venerated Teacher. Two and a blue, it's a common human wizard, it's a 2/2. This is the one, when it comes into the battlefield, you get two level counters on each creature you control with level up.
Does this go to 11.
Yeah, I mean, is this pretty good? Because when you look through a lot of cards, it seems like a lot of them are like, they say level 1 to 2, you get something that's, 3+, or 3 to 4. 1 to 2 seems like kind of the minimal level up ability.
I don't think this guy's good in Constructed. In Limited, he'll be insane. In Constructed, he'd be really sweet if he cost a single blue and was like a 0/1. Because then you could be like, I guess I'll Ranger Rios up this Student of Warfare with one already in play and get this guy. And, they're 4/4 double strikes all of a sudden. But at 3 mana, no real way to search him up. No real way to... Because, he's really awkward if you draw him early and you don't have any level up creatures in play. Because then you have to, hold him in your hand. And he's a 3 mana guy, so you don't really want to hold him in your hand. So it's just, super awkward and Constructed. Plus, you need to be playing with, I would say, at least 12 level-up creatures in one deck, which is a lot. It means your deck probably doesn't do anything. you play, 8-mana 2/2s, and, hope your opponent doesn't Lightning Bolt them. But in Limited, this guy's going to be pretty insane. Your opponent's going to be, staring down at your level-up creatures and doing the math about, combat or whatever, and you're like, guess what? They're all level 30 now. Let's bash your face in.
And that was kind of that was pretty much kind of the last one that I thought really jumped out at me. We've talked about a lot of the really interesting cards that we've seen so far. My question for you guys is, we also have the Defender sub-theme for Rise of the Eldrazi set. We have, as of right now, we have 175 of the 248 cards. what do you think we need to see, or what do you expect to see to make a Defender deck possible where you can actually potentially win the game outside of the Vent Sentinel? Like, what do you need to see?
There is a rumored card of a white wall that you pay some mana. I don't know the exact stats. I think it's like a 3-3 for 4 or something, or like a 0-3 for 4 flying or something crazy like that. 0-4 maybe. And you pay some mana, and it lets your walls attack and gives them the Doran Claws until their turn.
Really?
Yes,
that would
that's
be really
a rumor.
Awesome.
That's
that
a rumor.
That would be really, really awesome, actually.
Yeah, so that card would be pretty sweet, especially for casual players, since Rolling Stones does not actually make your defenders be able to attack. It only makes your walls be able to attack. Which
we talked about that last show. I'm like, what's with that?
Yeah. But that card might be printed. Other than that, like, there's a 2-mana 3-3 red wall. That's pretty sweet. Like, just a 3-3 defender for 2-mana. I remember back in the day there was, like, Cinderwall. You remember that? It was 1 red for a 3-3, but when it blocked, you sacrificed it in a turn.
Now, you get, for 1-colorless mana, you just get to keep it.
Yeah, you just get to keep your 3-3. Like, that guy's just a house. I mean, he's not going to be good in this set since everything's a 30-30, but in every other set, he would have been good.
Yeah, I kept waiting for, like a Wall of Wonder type of wall to come out if they're going to have these walls that could... I mean, the white wall sounds like the take on this where it's much more powerful. You know, paying mana so they can actually attack.
You have the red wall, too, that shoots players. That
one's pretty... You know, you have 3 or 4 walls up. That's a fairly quick clock that you put somebody on.
Yeah, plus we have other walls. Like, we have Wall Reverence that's still around. We have Perimeter Captain that's still around. Wall Denial. Like, there are some pretty good walls already in Standard. So yeah,
white-blue-red walls looks kind of fun already.
We'll call them,
You're the deck naming guru here.
No, I don't actually name decks.
Oh, you don't?
BDM names all my decks.
Why is that?
I literally run up to Brian David Marshall before every tournament. I'm like, here's my list. Give me a name. And he does. I just build decks. I don't name them very well.
Does he ever give you a terrible name?
Yeah, occasionally. Like, he wanted to call the ninja deck I played, he wanted to call it S-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H-H, as in, like, shh.
Oh, I thought it was like that game for computer. It's called, like, ARG. It's like, ARG.
No, he wouldn't call it shh, but, like, really long. But then he ended up coming up with Guess Who, so I called it Guess Who. But, like, I came up with a bandwagon, but other than that, like, most of my deck names, I'm just not good. I just think too hard.
Did you guys ever play the Guess Who variations where you couldn't use physical characteristics? You have to say, this person looks like they'd be at a Billy Ray Cyrus concert.
Yeah, those are fun.
And there's also a yearbook Guess Who where you photocopy your yearbook and you put the yearbook photos on the people so you can play with people that you actually know.
Tom had a really lonely childhood, everybody.
Hey, you have to find ways to entertain yourself, you know. And after your dad burns off an eyebrow with a potato gun, you got to find safe hobbies.
These are the types of things that you require to come up with when you live in North Dakota.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Thanks, Alma. Why didn't you go target practice or something less harmful?
Yeah, I was in North Dakota this weekend.
Well, I'm sure
I drove by Hebron, the Brick City, and we got an email from somebody that's moving to Minot. Just saying.
None of those things sound exciting at all.
I'm going to find something that's going to change your mind. I'm not sure what it is yet, but I'm going to find
it. I literally did not leave the house this weekend, and it was a more exciting weekend than what you had.
Ouch.
Rebuttal.
You hurt Marcel's feelings, Conley. Did you know Marcel is from North Dakota? Did you know
Marcel's
he's from North
from
Dakota?
You really think Marcel cares about North Dakota?
He's from North Dakota. Why do you think I invited him on the show?
Oakland.
Yeah,
he's from Oakland, North Dakota.
I got so much over here, it's ridiculous.
Everybody just assumed it was California, but it's actually Oakland, North Dakota.
Oh, there
I concede. I bold.
All right, guys.
And it's Marcel from Oakland?
Yeah, Oakland, North Dakota.
No, it's Oakland, California. Thank you.
Okay. Now I feel very silly. Never mind.
He stood up to him.
All right, guys. Any other Rise of the Eldrazi cards before we move on to some listener emails and whatnot?
Not until 10 minutes from now.
Alrighty, yeah, because usually this is just me just talking for a while.
No, but in 10 minutes there'll be new cards up.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. So we'll go through the emails till we get to that point. So what do we've got, listener emails? I didn't have time to put these in, so I'm going to read them on the fly. So we have Christy. I'm assuming this is a female Christy, who wanted to send in a B-movie recommendation. Sent in a movie, basically I think it's called Birdemic. So it's some sort of horrible B-horror movie about birds. And actually I have the YouTube trailer that I will have in the show notes. And their question is, can there actually be C, D, or F grade movies? And I think yes. I'm not sure what an F movie would be. Like an F
Jennifer's
movie.
Body.
No, okay. Jennifer's Body was hilarious.
Because it was so bad.
No. It was actually a pretty funny movie if you, like, weren't expecting it to be good.
Oh, I wasn't expecting it to be good. I took it for more of the, they were trying so hard to be Buffy, if that makes any sense. And it totally confirmed for me that Megan Fox cannot act her way out of a paper bag.
But she doesn't need to. That's what makes you angry about it. She doesn't have to.
Just smile.
Well, yeah, and
yeah, just smile and just walk around and jiggle. I mean, that's really all you have to do. And Dan Alpers from Central Corridor Gamers, he actually sent me an email from Geek Chick Daily, which was the most convoluted email. It was a message from Dan through this website about the Sci-Fi Channel, about a movie on Sci-Fi Channel called Mega Piranha.
I watched that last night.
It looks great. It shows like the box art for it. It shows this enormous piranha biting a battleship in half. That is cool.
It was really impressive.
I need to watch that and try to find that. Next, Tosa sends in an email for potentially an EDH combo is Experiment Kraj plus Gideon, Jura. So now you don't have to even do weird things to make it into a creature because Gideon can do it on his own.
That's not even that good. You double his counters and all you can do is kill more creatures.
Yeah, but still, it's not good. I'm just saying it's a combo. I didn't say it was a good combo.
Okay, fair. It is, in fact, a combo.
Jeez, get off my back.
Island plus Kraken Hatchling is also a combo.
Oh, God, you are so tough to beat. Bradley R. sent, this is actually a really, really good email. This was based off of an actual posting on the Wizards of the Coast site. He had a rules question about Rise of the Eldrazi. So he said, I wanted to ask the only other reputable rule source I know, and that's apparently me, which was a poor choice. They previewed the card Cast Through Time today. So let me find a cast for time for it.
That's a legitimate mythic. I'm glad that one is mythic.
So three blue and four colorless, a mythic enchantment. Instant and sorcery spells you control have rebound. And then on the Wizards of the Coast site, they basically mentioned how this really seems to kind of fall apart when you use the keyword ability retrace. And he wanted to know if anybody could kind of clarify how retrace works with rebound. He said he got very confused with how Wizards of the Coast was explaining it. So this is the exact quote from their site. Out of all the keywords here, this retrace is frankly busted in half with Cast Through Time. It says, unlike flashback, retrace doesn't end in exile. For example, you cast Una's Grace through time, through the Cast Through Time card. You eventually get two cards, and the grace goes to your graveyard. But when you retrace it, it doesn't exile itself. So its rebound ability is free to exile it. So you can keep on casting the Una's Grace through this ability, drawing tons of cards along the way.
Seems simple enough.
Yeah, I guess this is where I wasn't exactly... I was trying to read this and just kind of follow through. So I had Cast Through Time out. I cast Una's Grace via the retrace ability.
All right, well, let's go through from the start. All right, yeah. You have Cast Through Time out. You cast Una's Grace from your hand. Una's Grace gets exiled. It resolves. You draw a card. At the beginning of your upkeep, it gets cast from exile. You draw a card. It gets put in your graveyard. Then, if you read Rebound, it says, exile the spell as it resolves if you cast it from your hand. So you no longer need to follow that part because it's now in your graveyard, so you're not casting it from your hand. So you just follow the rest of Rebound, which says, at the beginning of your next upkeep, you may cast that card from exile without paying its mana cost. So you just get a copy, but you don't actually have to exile the original card. You effectively just get a copy during your next turn. So if you retrace Una's Grace, let's say, five times after it made it to your graveyard, your next upkeep, you would get five extra cards.
Oh, okay. It made sense. I just want to make sure, because I thought it was a good question just to clarify how this works with this. Because as he also said, splitting image with this card is going to be a lot of fun, because I want to see that happen.
The good thing is, Cast Through Time is seven mana, and it will not see much play in Constructed, unfortunately. So you won't see too many retrace things, except for in Casual, where people flip coins to determine rulings anyway.
Yeah, I mean, really, EDH is about the one place I see this happening, where you can actually get to seven mana in a big group game, and you want to see what happens when you cast Warp World with this in play.
No, you want to know the combo. Eye of the Storm, plus this card, and then everyone's heads will explode.
They just go, sure. Hey, we're done today, guys. Hey, we'll see you later.
Yeah, I don't even want to think about how it works.
Let's see. Next, we have from Phil B. He sent in an email. He's actually the one that recommended Shark Attack 3 Megalodon, which I just got this weekend through Netflix. I just wanted to say that one of the actors that actually was in the Shark Attack 3 movie, which is one of the most horrible B-movies I guess ever made, is actually played Doctor Who at one point. So I thought that was quite interesting.
That's quite a fall from grace, actually.
Yeah. And apparently he was getting interviewed, and they brought up – it was about Dr. Who, but then they brought up that he was in this movie, and I guess he became quite embarrassed during his live interview. He did not want to admit to being in Shark Attack 3. Let's see. This is a question from Clancy, which is a decent name, I guess. So he basically – where he plays – there's lots of Jund, which I imagine is pretty much everywhere right now. And he's playing a Saturn deck. He wants to play a blue-red – the deck that can hopefully have a good game against Jund. He had a couple. He's kind of looking at a counterspell based deck. He mentioned Swerve, Double Negative. He mentioned Spreading Seas. Do you guys have any ideas for other cards to add to a red blue deck that might be good if you're playing a lot of playing against a lot of Jund?
Yeah, Flash Freeze.
Flash Freeze. Okay, good.
Goblin Ruin Blaster.
Goblin Ruin Blaster.
Now it's Marcel's turn. You got nothing? Put him on the spot. He's got nothing.
I'm sorry, I was reading something else. I completely didn't even hear the question.
You know, basically, we're talking a red blue deck. A guy that's playing standard wants to play red blue. There's lots of Jund where he is. He wants to be able to beat Jund. And so far we've got Swerve, Double Negative, Spreading Seas, Flash Freeze, and what was yours, Conley?
Goblin Ruin Blaster.
Goblin Ruin Blaster.
Definitely.
Sphinx Ajar Isle. I mean, that's
one. That one is good. It's a little slow, so you need to use all these other cards to get to it, but it's definitely good.
Is there any like room for like Spellbound Dragon, anything like that? Anything crazy?
I don't know. That card's much worse than Sphinx's Isle.
Okay. So the game ends, because I don't know what else to say besides that.
Yeah, I don't like. You basically just want to kind of hurt their mana base, slow them down long enough to get to big spells, cast them. One of the disadvantages to playing red-blue is that you have no solid removal against Jund, because you have, like, Lightning Bolt, of course, and Earthquake and whatnot, but that doesn't really deal with Sprouting Thranax very well, or other cards such as Broodmate Dragon, Siege Gang Commander, gets one of those, not the other one. So you're going to have problems if their guys actually resolve, so you pretty much have to do everything possible to make sure their things don't resolve.
Let's see. Next, Joe V, he wanted to write in that he... when he first saw the card Echo Mage, he was reminded of a recent commercial for Old Spice, and he sent me the YouTube link for that. That was the email, so I thought that was very interesting.
Thank you.
I think it's that one where he's like riding on the horse, and the guy kind of has his shirt unbuttoned.
Yeah. But,
that
it's like a unicorn,
great.
And also there's rainbows, and his hand has like gems in it. And he kind of looks like the guy in that ad.
That guy eats buckets of poo for $20, just saying.
And I want to say thank everybody that emailed. Eric and I had this talk last time about what happens if you were to put an enchantment that's an enchant, an aura creature, on Gideon while he is turned into a creature. What happens when he turns back to a planeswalker?
It falls off.
Yeah, so me and Eric were absolutely wrong. It would work if it was an enchant permanent, then you would be fine.
I was literally pulling my hair out while I was listening to you guys trying to rationalize why it would stay on.
Yeah, it's like the blind man in the blind, you know. Yeah, you're just like, oh, it's like if you're like presented with a dildo and trying to figure out what that is if you're blind.
Yeah, you were like,
what is
no.
a grandma?
What is a grandma? Is it an egg beater, grandma? Does it beat eggs?
You're like, it would stay on because it has a mana cost.
You're like, what? No!
How does that make any sense?
Yeah, when I thought about it afterwards, I'm like, wait a minute. I knew the answer to this. What was it? You're on the spot. You get flabbergasted. So the one email I wanted to say is from Danny B, who is actually a level one judge from Holland, who just wanted to write in saying that it would fall off. And because I want to give him credit, too, because he wrote in, he was very polite, unlike a lot of the other ones, which were, you know, I'm pretty sure Conley wrote a lot of them, you know, basically expletives, and then give me the answer to my question.
I get a lot of those, Tom.
Then I'm ending with the personal favorite of the day. This is from Ryan H. It just says, the name of the email is MTG Wayne's Conspiracy, like the Wayne's Brothers. And it says, Echo Mage equals Keenan Ivory Wayne's. And there's a picture of Echo Mage and then a picture of Keenan Ivory Wayne's.
All right, Tom.
They do look like each other.
This just in. We have two new cards.
Okay, hit me up.
All right, we got your favorite of the group, Brood Warden. Three colors, green for 4/4. It's an Eldrazi drone. It says, Eldrazi spawn creatures you control get +2/+1.
Ooh, that's kind of interesting. Ooh.
So you pump up your whole little horde of guys, and it's uncommon, so you will get it in limited, and it's a 4/4 for 5 in limited that pumps up your guys. So this guy could actually just be the nuts in limited. If you open him up, you might want to draft a bunch of Eldrazi spawn and just get there. Then, to continue on the shock theme, we have Stagger Shock. Can anyone try to guess what this one does?
Makes it where they can't attack for that turn.
2 damage?
Yeah, it does two colors and a red. Instant, deals 2 damage to our creature or player, and rebounds.
Ooh. Ah, Stagger.
Yeah.
That's kind of, is that, you said it was an instant?
Yeah, it's an instant.
Okay.
Do you think we'll see Ghostfire in this set? Is that going to come out?
No, it was not in the orb results, so it is not coming out.
Interesting.
People, they actually did not print any colorless spells, if that makes sense. All the colorless spells in this set are just actually colorless. There's no, like, colored mana costs in there where it says what the color of the card is.
Didn't the original Ghostfire mention Eldrazi on there? In the
yeah, it mentioned the Eye of Ugin on the card, so it's kind of weird they didn't reprint it, but I don't know. Wizards is weird.
they can print you what they want now, because they print money for Hasbro.
Yep. They just shit in buckets and we eat.
They're just shit in buckets and poop.
Oh, wow. $20.
So, Conley, how much money did you win at GP Houston, if you don't mind me asking?
A cool $400.
So that's 20 buckets of poop.
Yeah, it was kind of. It just paid for my trip. It was like plus some. Plus, I won the credit card game at Fogo, which was awesome.
Is this like Fogo de Chao? Like the meat? Yeah. You get the meat sweats.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. I've never actually eaten there, but I've heard about it.
It's like $70 a person if you just get water, and there was seven of us, so it was like a $500 bill. And my credit card was in the finals, and so I was going to have to pay like $500. It's going to suck. But I got out of there in second place.
Yeah, that's...
Eric Froelich had to pay. It was awesome.
That I know you guys talk about playing this, and that's still, I don't... It doesn't sound worth it to me, to be honest. I'd just rather just pay my bill and not have to like worry the entire time.
It's awesome when you win, and usually the people that play have enough money to where... if they lost, they could cover it. It obviously hurts, but like, it's not like you're playing and you're gonna go home and get your heat turned off or some shit.
Or a bucket of shit. So $20.
Then once your heat is turned off, then you just start eating fecal matter.
Yeah, Conley. How can I name this episode to get $20 of poop in the title without it like without Star City Games being like, are you sure about the title on this one?
$20 a hit.
$20 bucko turds. I don't know.
Like $20 brown bucket, maybe like that. $20 brown bomber.
$20 soft serve.
$20 self serve? Yeah. I like that. Let me write that down.
I think it's soft serve.
$20 soft serve?
I don't know if he said soft serve or self serve.
Soft serve.
Soft serve. Okay, here we go. We have a title. I had Mize of the Eldrazi, but that one now has won.
Ooh, Mize of the Eldrazi. It's pretty spicy, though.
Yeah, there we go. So we'll see what happens. We're going to go on to MTG Cast News. If I missed anybody's email, we'll get it next week. It was a little bit of a...
Oh, I have an email I want to talk about right quick, Tom, before we go on.
Oh, no.
Yeah, that's right. I ruin everybody's day. Yeah. I don't just get in the bucket. I get all around the bucket. All right. We have a listener named Mellow Cow who everybody knows.
Oh, yeah. Oops. Yeah.
Yeah. And I promised him I would mention this, so that's why I'm interjecting. Mellow Cow sent me an email sometime throughout the week where it was basically he found this sort of pseudo-legal program where you could play Magic on your iPhone, I believe it is. I got the email. I'm going to put it in the show notes, but it's definitely something people might want to check out. I'm not sure if Magic Workstation is working on the iPhone just yet, but apparently this thing is pretty amazing. So
on your iPhone?
On your iPhone, Tom.
Well, and I have to admit, is you know, it sounds interesting on the iPhone, but I could see that being actually monstrously cool on the iPad.
And it also has a pretty well-designed AI, apparently. Like I said, I'm reading this all off of Mellow Cow's email. Once again, this dude's pretty amazing. So I will certainly email it to Tom after we get done here, and he can put it in the show notes for anybody that wants to check it out.
Interesting.
Yeah, now, once again, I'm basing that off the email. I haven't had time to look it out yet. Check it out yet, so.
All right. Any other emails before we move on? Conley, anything that you want to mention?
No. The episode of Jin's Playground that I did an interview for will be going up sometime this week, and some of the cards I talked to about today, I'll be talking about there. But there'll be other stuff, too, so.
And Marcel, usually I like to say everybody's email addresses. If somebody were to email you, we can make you an MTG Cast email address, or do you have one that you prefer to use? Or you can be marcel@mtgcast.com if you want.
You can put that up there, marcel@mtgcast, if you want to do that.
Okay, so it's Marcel, M-A-R-C-E-L, at mtgcast.com. I am Pitimp, P-I-T-I-M-P, at mtgcast.com. You other two jokers, where should they email you?
Buckopoop@mtgcast.com.
Buckopoo@mtgcast.com.
There's probably going to be a new one. No, it's Conley at MTGcast.com. I won't answer your email, but you can send it to me, and I'll probably read it. So.
And Bucket of Poo will be on there.
I will try to answer your email, I promise, but I get a lot of them, so I don't answer very many. I apologize.
All right, what about for you, Jack?
All right, folks, you can send all hate mail, nudes, applications for AverageGuyPorn.com to Jack at MTGcast.com. Also, something else I've started that hopefully the other co-hosts on this show will follow suit, and maybe a few other people on MTGcast. You can ask me absolutely anything you want to at formspring.jackfromnc.me. If it's something totally freaking vulgar, I can't actually say I'll answer it, but by all means, I'll definitely read your question. So hit me up with any kind of magic rumors or anything else.
Right, or like how to best hide stuff in your computer, like drugs or teeth or whatever else it would be that day.
Actually, the best way to hide porn on your computer is to have physical porn, like a magazine or something, have a case that doesn't have a window, and put it duct tape it to the side of the part that opens.
This is great.
No, I've seen a lot of stepdads do that. It was ingenious because there was no porn on their computer, but there was porn in their computer.
Oh!
Yeah, so the wife never knew about it. They got off scot-clean and always had, you know, fat material, so.
I guess you really want to have to look at porn, though, to, like, you know, unplug everything from the desktop, you know, unscrew the screws, pull out the porn, retape it back in.
No. Tom. Some of these cases, all you have to do is just move the side to the little to the left and it falls over, and there you go.
Oh, well, that's a lot easier. Okay.
Yeah, and considering some of their wives, anyways, I digress.
Also, I'll take a page out of Eric's book, and my Twitter, if anybody cares, is Conley81, not 64 like Tom seems to think, 81. That's on Twitter, in case anybody cares.
I don't know how long ago it was. You found like $81 underneath your bed or something like that?
Yes, we've gone over the story a million times. I was in middle school or late elementary school, and they asked what my favorite number was. I had to pick a number.
I said 81. So you didn't actually find $81 underneath your bed?
No, that's how much I had underneath my bed at the time.
Oh, that was it. Okay. You have to keep telling me because there's no reason for me to remember that story. But
yeah, I passed over 1,000 followers earlier this week, and now I'm up to like almost 1,100. So
nice. Do you talk about just about magic stuff, or are you one of those people that says, like, hey, I walk to the bathroom, hey, I'm in the bathroom?
I do not talk about I would say 75% of it is magic talk. Some of it is response to other people. There'll be some basketball stuff on there occasionally. Most of it's magic talk and responding to other people's magic talk.
Like, hey, I just made $40.
Yes, that's exactly what I say.
All right.
I'll post pictures up there in case anybody wants to see me eating the
I would actually want to see that once. It'd be like Faces of Death, because I would probably die after I saw that, but I would still want to see it once.
I'm pretty sure I can make a fake one. I'll get to work on it.
Okay, thank you. Or actually, Conley, the times you are here, usually sometimes I'll ask our listeners to like Photoshop you into pictures, like the brownie one.
These have been the worst pictures ever. I've gotten so much crap for like me in a Girl Scout uniform, like showing off my boobs.
Okay, listeners, all of you with Photoshop skills, Conley, a $20 bill, and a bucket of poo. Hog wild.
All right,
are you going to post those pictures?
Or email them to me. I mean, because I will then put them either on the forum or on the Twitter feed if they're at least, I would say, in the PG to R realm. If they're really, really out there, I'm not going to post them up. But if it's him, like, eating poo, I'll put that up.
Another call to the listeners. If anybody out there has used wholesaletraveler.com and has had success, email me. That'd be awesome.
Is that like wholesale with a W, or is it just like wholesale like a porn site, like H-O-L-E?
No, it's wholesale with a W. Oh, it's a travel site, and I plan on using it to buy my tickets to Gothenburg, Sweden, and Amsterdam, because it's significantly cheaper than everywhere else. Like, we're talking about $450 round trip to Sweden to Amsterdam, Amsterdam back to Denver, as opposed to like $1,100 everywhere else. And I've done as many Google searches as I possibly can, and I found nothing saying it's a fake site or anything like that. I found one person who said they used it, but other than that, not a lot of information on it. Usually if it was a scam, though, obviously there'd be a bunch of people that said it was a scam. So I was looking for a little more validation. So if anybody out there has used it, send me an email. Let me know if it worked out.
Okay, wholesaletravel.com, you said?
Wholesaletraveler. Yeah, .com.
Okay. All right, MTGcast news will be short. For the Worldwake Booster Pack giveaway, it is officially closed. So give me a week to pick out the listeners. Next week, we'll announce all 12 prize packs of 3 Worldwake boosters. And Conley, I'm going to let you opt out of the next little bit of this discussion here, so there's no conflict of interest. But I do have to read is that Monday Night Magic and I guess MTG Cast in general is not going to be on TCGPlayer.com anymore. This all came out where we'd been on TCG Player for a while, I think, and it's kind of like our deal with all the other sites. We send them the link, it gets put up. It's kind of a quid pro quo sort of thing where we talk about them and mention them. They put the show up. There's no money exchange in all of this. I went to TCG Player just to see kind of basically look at Conley's articles and some other stuff. I noticed that there weren't any MTG casts up since like 196. And it doesn't take a lot of time to be to put together the shows to send out, but it takes, you know, a few minutes where if I don't have to do it, I don't want to do it. So I just sent an email along with the show saying, hey, if you don't want to post up anymore, that's cool, but just let me know so I don't keep sending you this for 2 months in a row and then you just have to keep deleting this email. So I'm going to read the full email here in its entirety. So this is your coverage has been extremely skewed towards covering only Star City Games and Sarkington Post. Even when we have a large tournaments with full coverage by GGS Live, you have barely even mentioned them. The only time you've gone into depth mentioning our name is to bash us. On top of that, I've tried quite a few times to advertise, and there seems to be no good options available. We love to publish Magic content, and we think your show is great for that for a time. But with your skew towards only covering a few websites, it is no longer worth it to us to offer free advertising for our competition only. From the I won't say the name, but the person that is proprietor of TCG Player. So if anybody had been listening to that on that site, that's why we are no longer there. It's just weird to get this email to realize I didn't know we were having a bias. I just go to where I read my new stuff at. So, Conley, I'll let you send the site on this one since you're a paid writer for them. But for Marcel and Jack, did you guys have any thoughts? Otherwise, I'll just move right on.
I can't remember a time we bashed them. It's like when you sent me this email earlier in the week, I kept trying to rack my brain for a moment when maybe we said something that was underhanded or, you know, maybe could have been construed as insulting to them, but I really could not remember an instance. So if anybody from TCG Player would care to point this out to us and actually quote us on something we've said, please send it to me because I'm very curious about this.
It was very interesting to hear. I can definitely say that. And Marcel, I know you're new to the show, so I know you don't have any part of the everything that's gone on in the past of the show. But to me, I just want to share with everybody that's listening because it's quite interesting. Like I said,
say that definitely. I mean, maybe just is the mentioning that I mean, Star City Games is really out there and they're very visible. So I mean, if there's a problem with it, they may need to increase their visibility. I mean, you only get spoken on when you got the promotion there. So I'm not saying that they're not doing enough, but maybe they need to show off and they have more tournaments and really get them going.
Yeah, you know, maybe have some $20, you know, maybe have Conley do some $20, you know, bucket poop shots, you know, whatever you need to do to get your name out there. Well, someone Conley would jump in on that one, but he's standing over there.
I was waiting. I don't want to get involved.
I know. So, Conley, I'm going to let you get back. Well, we're going to go to our B movie recommendation. So, you know, you can get back next to your microphone.
All right, I'm back. I was next to my microphone the whole time. I was just biting my tongue.
I know. You were very good. I appreciate it. So, B-movie recommendation time. I picked up a classic John Carpenter film. We have They Live. I'm assuming everybody, that's all the hosts, have seen this movie.
Yes. Roddy Piper.
Yes, Roddy Piper. And Keith David actually has a pretty decent appearance in this movie. So, if anybody has not seen this movie, I'll give you the quick little rundown. The main character was never actually named in the movie. He's only named in the credits as Nada. And I'll talk about that a little bit. He's a down-on-his-luck construction worker played by Roddy Piper. He discovers a pair of special sunglasses. Wearing them, he is able to see the world as it really is. There's just all these kind of crazy messages, like it says, like, obey and stay asleep and breed and submit to authority. But they also, when he looks at certain people, they actually look like these really gross, like, face-bleeding aliens. And then he kind of goes through this hallway where he uncovers the aliens and sort of destroys how they are subjugating the human race. This one is absolutely an incredible movie. And I'll go through the few things, is that it has arguably the longest fight scene ever in a movie that was released.
Whoa, have you seen Pirates of the Caribbean 2?
I am talking, when I say fight scene, I mean two guys punching each other in the face.
Okay, because I was like, I literally like fell asleep during the whole wheel scene where they're like rolling. Like, I hated those movies, first of all. I apologize for hating them. But like, I literally fell asleep for 20 minutes, woke up, and the fight scene was still continuing, and I missed none of the movie.
You got a good point. One of the ship fighting scenes was
around. They're damn wheel the whole time. Like, physically impossible. Whatever. Stupid.
But basically, the fight between Roddy Piper and Keith David was only supposed to be 20 seconds. But they actually fought for real. Like, they were actually punching each other to the face and groin.
Wow.
They said they rehearsed this fight for 3 weeks, and John Carpenter was impressed enough that he actually kept the entire fight in. And if you time it, it's 5 minutes and 20 seconds long of Keith David and Roddy Piper just beating each other up for real. And also in this movie is one of the more, I'd say one of the more pop or famous movie lines of all time is the, "I've come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass, I'm all out of bubblegum." And that was actually done ad-lib by Roddy Piper. He had this, apparently the list of lines he wanted to say in wrestling interviews, and this is one of the lines that he had written down. So Roddy Piper, I have to give you 2 thumbs up for that one. And then guys, for They Live, I had to recommend it. It's available on Netflix. I don't think it's on streaming. It's definitely worth seeing. It's actually not a bad sci-fi movie in general. It's definitely a B movie, but it's fun. It's interesting. It's cool to see all these kind of hidden messages. That is my movie recommendation of the week. What did you guys think of this movie when you saw it?
I saw this movie when I was about 10 years old because my dad and me went through this phase where we had to watch all the cult classic films, and I don't know, I really enjoyed it. I definitely think Roddy Piper pulls the part off well. It was definitely a better vehicle for him than Doom, for example.
Is he in? He was in Doom?
No. I'm comparing like The Rock's performance. Doom was. I would sooner commit harakiri than watch that film again. I mean, how the hell do you end a movie about a first-person shooter with a kung fu fight scene? What the crap? Anyways, it's definitely something people should watch if for no other reason than Roddy Piper will keep you laughing.
Yeah, he's pretty funny. So, guys, Roddy right at the end of this, oh, go ahead, Marcel.
I just remembered the just wrestlers. Have you guys seen the Iron Sheik?
Yes.
Speaking of old wrestlers,
yeah.
Have you seen him link? Wow, man, that guy is nutty.
Yeah, when you hear any of these guys get interviewed, you're just like, I don't know how these people worked in straitjackets, like when they're not wrestling.
I mean, that's probably why they turned to wrestling.
It's like the Ultimate Warrior. He was crazy when you heard him talk.
Oh, man.
So I saw a really bad B movie the other day.
What?
I don't know. Have you ever seen Santa Claus Conquers the Martians?
Yeah, that's like an old, like, 50s movie.
Yeah, it's like 60s something. That was pretty bad. I saw that for the first time.
Yeah, like Santa Claus is like a UFO, and like there's these like
he goes to
Mars, and there's these kids helping him. It was made fun of by the Mystery Science Theater 3000 guys once.
Oh, I didn't see that. I saw the actual legit movie. It was
you are a glutton for punishment, thanks.
It was a free one on the Comcast on demand thing for like a day, and I was like, how can you pass up a title like Santa Claus Conquers the Martians? So I clicked on it, and
that's terrible.
I'd rather earn $20. I'll be honest with you. I'd rather earn $20
than
watch that.
It was
the hard way.
It was pretty bad.
You should get $30 for watching that movie. If it's $20, eat a bucket.
Well, considering you're going to have the taste of crap in your mouth either way, I would much rather just take the
$20. Fair.
Oh, okay, guys. We're at the end of the show. It's been like an hour and a half. So we are going to wrap this thing up. So we'll go around the round table here, say your last thoughts, and then we're going to sign off until next week when we'll have like 280 cards out of the set. So Conley, you're sassy.
Cool. We're going to have more cards spoiled than are actually in the set.
Yeah, we are. I mean, that's how fast they're going to spoil these cards. They're
sweet.
Actually going to overshoot it, then it'd be like, oh, well, these cards are from the next set, and they'll have to bring it back then.
Is it a pre-release this next weekend?
Yep. Pre-release the next weekend. I'll be gunslinging. Go out, support your pre-release, have fun.
Yeah, I think this is going to be pre-release set, I think. This is going to be pretty cool.
I'm going to be in L.A. for M11, by the way, gunslinging out there for Glenn Goddard.
Now, Colin, is this your first time gunslinging, or is this like your second or third time doing it?
It's like my fifth time doing it.
Fifth time. Is it fun? I mean,
it's actually like my fourth time.
I don't want you to control, but I'm just curious if it's fun or not.
It's fun to like open up new cards and build your deck and all that stuff for sealed. And it's fun when you're playing like, I don't know. It's fun when you're playing competitive people, at least for me. Like, it gets a little bit of a grind when you're playing an 8-year-old kid with his, 36 spell 4 land deck or whatever. Because then you're like just kind of teaching them the whole time, and like I don't really get enjoyment out of teaching people the game, just because like I don't know. I don't mean to sound like a curmudgeon or anything, but it gets a little annoying. Obviously, I put on my happy face and I don't let them know that I'm bored out of my mind. But other than those moments, it's usually pretty fun, like for the most part.
So I thought it'd be the other way around. I thought you get. I assumed you get more annoyed by the people like kind of pimp rolling up to your table, thinking they're the best thing ever made.
No, because I just beat them and that just makes me smile.
Oh, okay. There you go. Because you're a mean guy. Okay, that makes sense.
No, it's not because I'm a mean guy. They're trying to show off. Like that's a competitive nature. Like we're men. You're allowed to be competitive, and you're allowed to out and see who
is pushing his deck off the table. This sort of like
yeah, but like when you're an 8-year-old kid, like if I beat an 8-year-old kid, I'm not excited, and if I lose to an 8-year-old kid, I'm definitely not excited. Like it's a no win situation, and the whole time the match lasts 100 hours because he's stuck on one land, of course, and
you
I don't want
to windmill slam your Emrakul. You're like bam, you lose.
Yeah, so like it's just really awkward. And then of course their dad's always standing over their shoulder and trying to help him out with plays. So every turn takes an hour.
Go cry to mama. My mom's dead. Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry,
but I mean, like I said, it's fun. I mean, it's more work than people would expect. It's not like you're just going there and just strictly having fun. Because I mean, you are playing Magic, but it's not like the kind of Magic you're used to playing. It's not like you're just hanging out with the guys, drinking beer, playing Magic or whatever. So
I can give you that. That's what I was kind of curious about, because it's almost more of a job, I guess. Some ways,
yeah. But I mean, also you get paid for it. You get some money and some cards and some food. So
okay, that's cool. How about for you, Marcel? Any last thoughts here before? This is your first time being on the show. Was it shocking? Not shocking? Where are you at? You're still here.
Oh, yeah, shocking.
Time.
Definitely. I loved it. It was a great experience. I can't wait to come back again.
He's being all formal. He's like up on stage, like, I'd like to thank God and my family. And
no, he's lined up all these $20 bills. Everybody has bills on his table. It's like, these are all for Conley. All for Conley.
He wants to be like, these white people are crazy.
I got a pocket full of $20 bills ready for Conley. But just taking them.
Oh, you are going to so earn those that money.
I might never let this down.
I'm
going to
give you
10
$2 bills. That's how I'm going to look at it.
I should have made my price higher. Like, I probably could have done 200.
Yeah, you should have.
Well, Conley, all I'm thinking about is, I get some pretty crazy mail every now and then. I'm just imagining what you're going to see in your inbox, like, in the next couple of days after this cast goes up.
I don't even want to know. Hopefully my spam.
I don't want to know what you're going to know.
I'm going to send everything I get. I'm going to forward it straight to Tom without looking at it.
Okay, cool. I'll wade through it. I'm a brave soul. All right, Jack, what about you? What are your last thoughts here besides Conley just chowing down on buckets of poo? Just like that. Yeah.
First of all, I'm just going to say it's, as always, it's always good to
hear from
you guys.
Poo.
How many people would it take?
He didn't specify that.
How many poops would it take to fill up a bucket? Is it like one poop, or is it like...
Did I just eat at Red Lobster or
Tom,
not?
Tom, why are we having this conversation?
If I just ate at Red Lobster, it only takes one. That's all I can tell you.
All right, enough. I'm tired of the carcophilia.
The fact you know the word is possibly more disturbing than us talking about it.
Yeah, you don't want to know, like, with, like 2-month-old baby poop, just like that.
I have a little good question. All right,
that's the worst.
It's damn AT&T. They didn't eat enough poop.
Yeah, he is. He just dropped out. So yeah, AT&T. See, AT&T says we need to keep talking about the poop buckets, but I'm going to control myself, and we're going to stop the show.
This seems legitimate.
Yeah, so thank you guys for joining me.
Wait, plug Marcel's Hood Chefs.
Marcel, you said that you're going to have a new episode coming out, too. Yeah, because you have another passion just Magic.
Oh, yeah, Hood Chefs, a plug right here. We do, like, an Iron Chef competition between a couple people. We're going to have a competition soon coming up in May. We're going to have 2 pigs on a Spitfire grill, 2 chefs going at it. It's actually 2 teams, and they just cook the pig, do it however they want to, but... Every show is a different one. You can check it out, hoodchefs.com, HOODCHEFZ. We're trying to get a kind of consistent series, maybe even try to get, do something for network television or something like that, or cable television, really trying to build something. Right now it's really loose. Storyboards haven't been as good, but we're getting going. We're also going to be at the Blunt World Music Fest in Livermore. We got this in the Bay Area. It's a concert that we got going on, so you'll see us over there doing the Hood Chef thing, so. Another aspect to it.
That's awesome. Marcel, is it cool if I put the link in the show notes, or we can go check out hoodchefs.com?
Yeah, go ahead. Put it in, please.
Perfect.
Please.
Well, we can throw it up on the
if anybody out there is a chef or anything, we would love to have like people in different communities want to, say, compete against them and give do the footage and send it in, and we could put it on our site. That's what we're really trying to get going. So, I mean, if anybody's interested in there and want to really compete, check it out. And if you see something like that you want to get going in your own town, let me know. We might be able to work something. Get you on there.
Yeah, no, that'd be awesome. Yeah, because I watch your other videos, and they're pretty good. I've actually asked for the recipe a couple of times. Because you guys did
You
did like the lobster. Was it like lobster tails once? Like you did like camping. Like it was like a camping cook-off almost.
Oh yeah, that was at a friend's property. We just we're just camping, but yeah, lobster tails. Brought lobster tails to camping. It's just beautiful. Put the butter on there. Cook it on the grill with the oak. I mean, we a lot of drinking there. But once I took one of them lobster tails, it brought me right back to reality. I mean, it's a wonderful thing.
That's awesome. All right, guys, thank you for joining me tonight. It went south like every episode does when Conley's here, but it was entertainable.
Whoa, don't blame me, okay? It's the collective.
Who's the man who's only charging $20 to do horrible things? That is Conley Woods.
My price is up.
Sold yourself short.
Yeah, are you going to register like the new Twitter name like Conley20?
It's $50 now.
It's $50. I would still buy it. It's still a deal. I'd say that a bargain.
If I'm going to do it, I'm going to make more money. It'll be $81 by the end of this podcast.
All right, you've heard it here first. Conley is eating poop for $20 to $50. If you got it, bring it. We're ending the show now because we can't go any lower. See you guys later.
Adios.